Number 18A.
We are still within that Christ matrix from the point of view of truth and have considered the first vertical, namely the steps from the Word to the Christ, and have seen through four steps that John is showing us the way how we can wed the Word sense to the Christ sense. Now we come to the next one, to the Christ vertical there, where we just have summarized it as Christ's translation to the human, a very important subject. We know the Christ that is manifesting itself and comes to the human, comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error, as Mrs. Eddy defines the Christ. So this short epitome is not giving us a lot of information. It gives us the main tone and says that's one of the Christ aspect, that he does translate himself to every situation. But we like to know what goes on within our consciousness so that we can experience really that Christ translation within ourselves. And in order to show that, John gives us four steps. And they are quite impressive, those four steps, because now he starts right out with meat and no more water. Up to this point, everything was water. And now he says, I have meat to eat, of which you don't know. I have meat to eat. So the Christ becomes very tangible now. It's now no more just a vision. It's no more just an idea sense of it. But now it begins to incorporate itself. And so he says, now I have meat to eat of which you don't know. What is that meat that of which you don't know? And I think this is an important point for us to remember, that when we start out with the Christ, that he gives quickly a hint of the Christ in absolute Christian Science. In a very short wording, he says, my meat is what? What is his meat? Actually, that was a symbol. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, if we listen to the tonality, we can hear here really the Christ in absolute Christian Science, which is truth, life, and love. So that is the standpoint from which we go out. In the world, we have seen we go out from life, truth, and love in absolute Christian Science. Here we have the Christ translation, which says before the translation takes really place, I have to embody within myself the absolute idea of the Christ as truth, life, and love. How does he say it? He says it, there is a will of the Father that has to be done. That is the truth, that will of truth, that working of the truth. And he says, and I do it. That's the individualization of it. I do the works of the Father that sent me, and to finish his work. And to finish his work, you can see love. It consummates it. So he takes on really that attitude which we can take on when we are treating a patient, when we are going along the Christ translation, that perhaps we see that before we take the Christ order as the Christ translation, that we first establish within our consciousness really the Christ in absolute Christian Science as truth, life, and love, as seeing that the whole ideal of God, truth, wants to express itself. And it wants to express itself as life, namely that each individual can do it, that it individualizes in it within each one, so that each individual can really draw from that resources of the one truth, from that one Christ truth, in order that that law of truth and life fulfills itself as love, so that I finish his work. I always like to take that sometimes when I, in practice, or when I have to deal with a problem and think, what is what is happening in the universe, what is ruling in a situation, then I feel, well, I better fill my consciousness first with the Christ in absolute Christian Science, where I see that nothing actually can go on as the Christ, but really the ideal truth, that ideal truth which is constantly individualized in every situation, so that I feel that in every situation the one truth is working, and is working in vain or not in vain. Yes, naturally it fulfills, it consummates its purpose. So I have tone of love. Or I have the tone of love that is so much more specific to this law, namely that love here shows that the truth is working individually, really adapted to the situation. That adapted to the situation is love, because what we want to bring out is that is brought out which is adapted to the situation, or it doesn't fulfill the purpose. So that truth doesn't give me bread when I need stones, or doesn't give me stones when I need bread. It's adapted to the situation. It's tailored made. You see, just fitting the situation, and that gives a great sense of security and of certainty and peace. That says, well, that one ideal is constantly individualizing itself, life, so that it is adapted to every situation, love. And then only afterwards I usually go through the Christ order, as it is given in the Christ translation. So here too we can see that John is hinting first quickly to that absolute statement, and then he translates it right down to the human and gives that experience or that parable, so to say, of the 4 months, that he says, you think it takes 4 months to the harvest, but I say unto you, lift up your eyes, go on a higher level than your human level, go on an absolute level, then you see that the fields are already white to harvest, so that you can really reap without labor. Again, a wonderful sense of the Christ that says the Christ translation does not take time. The reaping of the Christ translation is not something that takes time. The Christ is right now, is at the point of isness, and therefore we must correct within our consciousness that when we talk about the Christ translation, with translation we always have a sense of time process involved in it, that it takes some steps, some time from one to the other until it fulfills itself. So first it shows here, therefore, when we are thinking about the Christ translation, the very first thing is to point out the word of it, the statement of it, that the nature of the Christ is that he is, that it is not a law of cause and effect that takes time or that goes on in the realm of space. It's just right here. So we have here really what Mrs. Eddy would call the eternal Christ, that Christ, the isness of the Christ, so that within our consciousness we correct that concept that the Christ is combined with a time process. It's just always here and now, even if we don't see it. Even if we humanly may not yet experience it, first we have to start with the absolute concept of the Christ, that the Christ is already here and now. That's the point here in this first tone. Let us go to the second tone, where he goes a step further and now shows with the healing of the nobleman's son that he is depicting now how that Christ translates itself, and yet in translating itself down to the human, at the same time, simultaneously, we have the ascending sense to perfection. This is very nicely depicted in that story of the healing of the nobleman's son. Jesus was up on the mountain in Canaan, I think you say. There was the marriage in Canaan. And that was on the top of a hill. And down, further down, along the lake was Capernaum. And the nobleman's son lived in Capernaum, and he was sick to death. And so the nobleman went up. You see, he had first the ascending sense. He said, I go up to that Jesus. I think that Jesus perhaps could help me. So he had first the ascending sense, because he was a beginner. He didn't know how things would be done. But he had a feeling, if I go up and lift myself up and go up to Canaan and tell Jesus, he might help me. And he went up and he said, come down. So you have here a symbolism of the ascending and descending sense of the thought, on the level of thinking of the nobleman's son. Because Jesus didn't give in. He said, no, I don't come down. I stay where I am, because the Son of Man is already in heaven. And so he said to the nobleman, well, you just go home and you just go down again, down the mountain, and all will be right. And as the nobleman went down halfway, he met the servant that came up and met him. And the servant said, well, your son is healed. And so he inquired at what time he was healed. And the servant said, at 7 o'clock. Is it interesting for prosperity after 2,000 years to know that it was 7 o'clock when he was healed? Take him literally, one says, well, that doesn't matter after 2,000 years. But taking it as symbolic, we can see that it was at the seventh hour of Jesus' consciousness. When Jesus' consciousness were full of the seven synonymous terms, and so with that consciousness, he could see that the seventh synonymous term had a Christ order, divine, as you have it in the first translation, as divine principle, life, truth, and love, soul, spirit, mind. You see, it's divine principle, it's not just principle. That's quite interesting to see. The second side, we know from the definition of God, is divine. The first side is incorporeal, the second side is divine, the third side is supreme, and the fourth side is infinite. And then Mrs. Eddy gives the seventh synonymous term. So here, the second side of the Christ, she shows that it is divine principle, and shows it in the descending way. The descending way, he didn't descend humanly, but his consciousness was running along the descending way of divine principle, translating itself as life, truth, and love to the point of idea in mind to bring out the right idea. So with his seventh hour consciousness, he was entertaining the Christ translation through the seventh synonymous term. And at the same time, the son was healed. You see, the descending way, therefore, is parallel to the ascending way, because in the ascending way, depravity, like sickness, was healed and was restored. And so the son was restored. That is the second translation, the retranslation. A retranslation of sickness right back to the third degree of understanding, which was also the seventh hour. And so in the third degree, Mrs. Eddy says, the mortal mind disappears, and man in God's image and likeness appears. So here the symbolism shows very clearly that those two translations are not taking place one after the other, but that they really take place simultaneously. So in a way, we could say it would have been nice if from the printing point of view, Mrs. Eddy could have put those two translations side by side instead one after the other, but you know how very often the printing business takes over and tells us how to present something. So, but the main thing is that within our consciousness, we are not thinking there is first a first translation of immortal mind, and then afterwards is the translation of mortal mind, but that much more we in our consciousness entertain the isness of the Christ. That's why first we had the harvest that says it takes no time, not 4 months. If you lift up your consciousness, you see that mind is cause and effect at the same time, that it doesn't take time from mind to become, for mind as a cause to become an effect of mind, that it takes 4 months to accomplishing it. So first was said in the at the point of the word that the Christ is now, and now we must see that even when we see that there is a translation taking place from God to man, that this is also a nowness happening. I can almost so say a nowness process, but the nowness happening, a spontaneous, a simultaneous happening. So that's what is brought out here, I feel, very clearly about this, the nature of the Christ. So we already know quite a bit about this second little epitome of Christ's translation to the human. We know already now that Christ is at the point of isness. Second, we know that a translation takes place simultaneously. Sorry, that translation and retranslation takes place simultaneously, so that there is no time process actually involved in the healing. And now third, it takes a symbolism of the Christianity sense, which I think is very impressive, so to say, because he gives that healing of the lame man sitting already so many years at the pool and is never able to get in the pool in time. You see, he had a sense that he needs time, so that when the Spirit came and moved the waters and he should go into the waters, there was always somebody who was quicker before him, and he was always too late, and so he never got his healing over those many decades of years. And now Jesus comes and corrects that. And he corrects it like this, that he doesn't heal the lame man. But that's one thing we have to see. We speak of the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, but when one investigates what was happening between Jesus and the lame man, we can see that Jesus only gave him the method, but that the lame man had to heal himself. This is a wonderful sense that is good for us to know, that actually we should not always rely on somebody else to heal us, but that we are seeing that we have the healer within ourselves, that each one is his own practitioner. How does he say that, you see? Well, Jesus was asking him, "Don't you want to get healed?" I said last year, this is a silly question to ask a man that has been sick for 37 years or something like that, to say, "Would you like to be healed?" But that was the right question to ask him, is because he brought out in the man that he said, "But I have no man to help me. I have no practitioner to help me. I have no man to help me. That is, I have no man." So he did not know that he's man. So Jesus actually uncovered in his consciousness that he is not aware that he is man and that man is whole. So he said to him, "Well, arise, take up thy bed and walk." He had three demands on him and says, arise in your consciousness, then take up the old consciousness and go on and walk, go forward, go spiritually forward. So the man did it, he arose, took up his bed and walked. So the man did it. So it is showing here really the difference between the healing before with the nobleman's son, where it was Jesus, seventh day of consciousness, that he filled his consciousness, that he said, go down, that he said, well, the Christ goes down and meets every situation and therefore retranslates every situation back into its wholeness. So it was Jesus' consciousness being the practitioner and healing the sick. Here it is Christianity, Christ as Christianity. It's not Christ as Christ, it's Christ as Christianity. And Christianity is always at the point of man, of man's true consciousness. And so he asks that patient to heal himself. He gave him just the method of how to heal himself. And to say, this is silly what you say, that you have no man. You are man. And you just have to see that you rise above your old belief that you are a sick man. So rise above and rise and take up thy bed. Thy bed is always, a bed was always a symbol also for consciousness in which we rested. So he said, take up that old bed and that old consciousness. Translate it and bring it forward. Go and go forward. Go and walk. Go forward. Go forward, go forward. So he could see that that consciousness of that layman was a very dead consciousness, a consciousness of lethargy, of apathy, that he didn't want to go forward, that he didn't want to go forward in spiritual things, that he depended on others to do it, and that is always a very dangerous point. I can always see also today, this happens over and over, and I can see it in many, many cases, that even good Christian scientists, even good practitioners, that they can't go forward. And so instead of having more, always an unfolding of a more definite, the more beautiful consciousness, they seem to lose that and be sick and aging and things like that, because one can see they never are really wanting to go forward. They like Christian Science, they love Christian Science, they are devoted to Christian Science, but that's not enough. A Christian Science practitioner must be very careful that he doesn't rest in the success of his healing. You will see, and I've seen that over those many 50, 60 years that I could watch really the field, I could see only too often that because the practitioners were happy with their practice and could help, and then they found out little by little that they couldn't help anymore so well, and then you could see them how they began to disintegrate and how they began to see that they are no more really enjoying their consciousness of the Christ, that they were beginning to feel, I can't heal anymore, this is not going forward. That is a very tricky argument of animal magnetism to rest in the success of one's healing work. So whatever we do, no matter if you are a practitioner or if you are a student, it doesn't matter, man is man, and we can see that we must see that our consciousness is a consciousness that is at every point ready to enlarge its consciousness, is ready really to go forward, to be open for a new development, actually in the right direction, not in the wrong direction, open for a higher level of consciousness, for a more complex level of consciousness, willing to see that the net has perhaps two big meshes and that we have to put in finer meshes so that we see the complexity of the infinite always clearer and clearer. So forever, for whatever we do, go forward. John Dolly used to finish usually his association by saying, and on we go and ever on. That's the attitude that we should have and not stand still. Yes, so Can you see the difference between those three different incidences? First of all, to see that we go out really from the absolute Christian Science, where we see there is a Christ in absolute Christian Science, and that Christ in absolute Christian Science says, I'm really the big boss in that whole business. I'm really the truth, the one truth, the whole truth, and the ideal truth. And that ideal truth I'm going to translate to the individual situation. It's individualized life. So, and every individualization of it will have its consummation in it, will really fulfill what that one ideal wants to bring forth. So we have truth, life, and love. That's our meat. We are no more drinking the water. Up to this point, it was always water, water, but now it's meat. It's taking in and embodying, really, that Christ idea. From that high altitude, he shows now those three different examples. Says, look here, in the first example with the harvest, you can see that the Christ is always at the point of isness. So there is no time concept involved in it. In the second example, he showed that this isness of Christ is really contains within itself, in a simultaneous or in a parallel way, the translation from principle to idea and the retranslation of illusion back into idea. This is going on simultaneously. And the third instance was showing, look here, that Christ is in each one of us. Every man has the Christ man in himself. He only has to get aware of it and see, I have it within me. I don't have to ask, I have no man. Who is that man who is going to help me? Jesus said, well, arise, take up thy old consciousness and go forward. For heaven's sake, go forward. And so he was healed.